there and fight against the Spanish, but he needed somebody that could get a message through to him, somebody that could go find him. We didn't know where he was. Somewhere he was in the jungled hills of there. The island's about roughly 70 miles wide. It varies in different places a bunch, about 800 miles long. That was a big task. There was no communications in those days. And we needed somebody that we could trust to get it through. And so, that's where I'm going to stop the story right now. We'll tell more about that toward the end. In Luke chapter 16, it tells us, it says, now let me just read it so I make sure I get it right. In Luke 16, in verse 10, it says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." Why don't we have a word of prayer as we get going this morning. Lord, I pray that you would guide us as we look into your word, that you would help us to be encouraged in our faithfulness and to really have hearts that want to follow you in each thing. In your name, amen. So here we're told that being faithful in little things, if a person is that, you can also trust him in big things. But if they're going to be crooked in little things, they will be crooked in big things too, or unjust is the word used here, and it carries over. In the scripture reading we had today, in Luke chapter 19, we'll be looking a bunch at that here. It tells us that, it said, "A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return." So he's going into a faraway country, and what's he going to get? A kingdom. This guy is going from being a nobleman to being the king. And he goes away to receive it. It's far away. How long is he going to be gone? Well, it doesn't tell us. And we don't know how long he was going to be gone. But it does tell us something. It says he was going away. He was going to receive the kingdom. And then he was going to return. He was coming back. And as he was going away and preparing to go, he called 10 servants together and delivered unto them 10 pounds. And he said to them, "Occupy till I come." Now, a pound, well, it's not a British pound. It's only worth a dollar and something. But this was a pound. Most people figure, as you look at it, it was probably worth somewhere in the 50 to 80 days' wages. So it wasn't big money like a talent, but it was something to work with. It was a fair amount to work with and something they could do something with. And the order was, "Occupy till I come." Put it to use. Occupy has the idea of being busy with, using it, trading, investing, working with it, using it somehow. Now, it appears like, it says in verse 14, "But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, 'We will not have this man to reign over us.'" Seems like the majority, they didn't want to have this nobleman over them. They didn't want him to be their king. They didn't care about him. And so they sent that off, and away that he went, and he's gone. And what happens? Of course, time's going to come, and he's coming back. "It came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading." You know, there's some real similarities with some of this with the Lord, with him going away, undetermined amount of time, coming back as a king. Of course, the first time Jesus came, did he come as a king? No, he came as a baby. He came as a servant, somebody that was going to suffer for us, that was going to bleed and die for us, that was going to not, he wasn't coming as a king, he was coming as a servant. And so he came. But when he comes back, is he coming back as a baby again? He's coming back as a king. The king of the whole universe, and he is coming back. Well, as this nobleman comes back in the parable, as now he's a king, and he comes back and he starts calling the servants together and saying, hey, we need to see what's going on here. How did you do when I was gone? What did you do as I was away? Says verse 16 says, the first came saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. Wow, that guy put it to work, and he was working hard and was successful and had some good business things happen with him. And what does he say? And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Oh, so he takes him from being in charge of 10 pounds, or 1 pound to start with, which he said was very little. He said, because you've been faithful in very little, he said, have authority over 10 cities. Wow, that's quite an upgrade of reward, wouldn't you say? That's like, but he knew, if I can trust him with a pound, I can trust him with a lot more than that. And so that's what he's given. The second comes, and he came to, says, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. He said, likewise to him. In other words, you've been faithful over very little, have authority. And he said, be thou also over 5 cities. Now another one comes there, and what does he say? He says, Lord, here's thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. We kept it nice. He said, for I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up, thou lay not down, and reap that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Wait a minute. We don't know anything he did wrong, except God calls him thou wicked servant. He didn't do what he was supposed to be doing. Do you know that there's more than one kind of sin in the world? There's sins of commission and there's sins of omission. I happen to have a coach that liked to use that. I'm afraid he's not saved. I've witnessed to him a lot of times since then. But he'd say in the locker room, there are sins of commission and there are sins of omission. The sins of commission put you in the penalty box. What did the sins of omission do? Well, you didn't do what you should have done. You failed to do whatever it was, and that might cost you just as bad. But with this one, the Lord of him says, thou wicked servant, you didn't do what you were supposed to do, and that's bad. It is not good. He says, thou knew I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down and reaping that I did not sow. He said, wherefore then gave not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have received required mine own with usury. That at least you could have got me some interest. But you didn't do anything with it. And he said unto them that stood by, he said, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. They said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. And the Lord said, for I say unto you that every one which hath shall be given. To every one that hath shall be given. And from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken from him. So he was losing out because he didn't use it. God had given it to him. He didn't use it. And so he lost it. You know, it reminds me a lot of the passage in 1 Corinthians 3. I'm going to flip over there. And there, in 1 Corinthians 3, it's talking about rewards for believers and what happens with that in the judgment. And we'll pick up with verse 10 where he says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The foundation for life or eternity or anything good is the Lord Jesus Christ. If a person's trust is in him, their faith is in him, they're on the right foundation. They've got it. Then it's time to build. And in verse 12, he says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, sometimes you hear different ideas about what's going to count for eternity and what's not. It lists wood, hay, and stubble here, and those things, of course, are going to be burned up. But that's not to say you can't be faithful in wood, hay, and stubble. I sure hope so, because a lot of my life has been with wood, hay, and stubble. I mean, I've farmed most of my life, and I do cattle, and that stuff, it's just physical stuff that would burn up. But that doesn't mean it can't be used for good and can't be used for eternal value. And what does it say? The fire's going to try every man's work of what sort it is. It said, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If whatever we've done for the Lord abides, there's going to be a reward for that. Here in that earlier lesson parable we were talking about, it went from using 1 pound faithfully to massive reward, being over 5 cities or 10 cities. It was a big upgrade, right? In this life, generally hard work is rewarded, and generally there's benefits from it, and people save for retirement. But in this life, how valuable is anything that we have? So I think land is highly valuable, right? But how long can you keep it? I don't know. Until you can't use it anymore. Until you go into eternity. And how long is that? Well, that's pretty short in comparison with eternity. I don't think any of us are going to have anything for 100 years. I doubt any of us will have much for 50. Probably less than that with most of us. And then it's gone. It's temporary. And we don't have our hands on it anymore. There's a lot of other people that have owned stuff before us, and they don't now, because they went into eternity, as we will as well. But if any man's work abide, it says, he shall receive a reward. And any reward from the Lord, I don't think he's going to short anybody. You know that? He's not going to. And with those rewards, how long do they last? They go on indefinitely. An eternal dime is, I would think it's worth more than an earthly million. Because that eternal dime, that's going to go on. But the earthly million, well, that's going to be left behind or consumed or gone somehow. But then it tells us too in verse 15, it says, if any man's work shall be burned, it says, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. That sounds like that other servant. He had a pound, and they took it from him. This is not talking about somebody that dies and goes to hell. See, it says, if any man's work shall be burned, it says, he shall suffer loss. He was on the foundation, but his life wasn't counting for God at all. It says, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. In other words, he made it. He didn't end up in the lake of fire, but he ended up with, he suffered loss. You can get to heaven and have a loss of your life, of what should have counted for eternal value can be gone. And that's what happened in here. And it sounds a lot like exactly what happened to this guy who had the talent, or had the pound and did not use it. He lost it. Now, it didn't happen to him like the other guys. In verse 27 tells us, it says, but those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. It's like, whoa, these guys, they didn't only lose their pounds. But had they been given a pound? Yes, they had. They were all given a pound. But they didn't use it all for him. They didn't care about him. They wanted to go the other way and do their own thing. They did not want the Lord in their lives at all. I'd like to look at a little bit of an example too, or just refresh of an example of a guy who was highly faithful in his life. In the life of Joseph in the Old Testament, we see a just a heap of faithfulness. As a young man, what does he do? Well, let's see. So we don't know a ton about him, but he got this coat from his dad. He had some dreams, and we know his dad gave him a job to do. He said, go check on your brothers. So he had a many-mile walk to go find his brothers. And when he gets there, where are they? Well, he doesn't know. He's wandering around in the field looking for them. And he meets a guy and says, what are you looking for? He says, well, I'm supposed to find my brothers. He didn't say, oh, too hard, I can't do that. Or they weren't there, so he didn't go back. He kept looking until he found them. He was faithful, he obeyed his dad, and went to check on his brothers, and that's exactly what he did. Well, what happens then? Well, he goes and he finds his brothers, but they're not glad to see him. And so he probably gets roughed or beat up a little, taking his coat from him, thrown in a pit. They want to get rid of him. They're talking of killing him, but instead, what do? They sell him to be a slave. So off he goes to be a slave. And he gets bought by Potiphar, and he is a slave in his house. And he didn't come in as the top guy, probably on the bottom of the barrel. But what did he do? Why would he end up in charge of everything in Potiphar's house? Because he was faithful in little things. He was probably carrying water and cleaning toilets and have at the bottom of the barrel right away. I'm sure he was put down and given all those other things, and here he's the new one at the bottom. But as time passed, and he was being faithful, well, some time happens, and what do we know next about him? Well, he's in charge of everything of Potiphar's. And he's making the calls, and Potiphar's not worrying about anything he owns because Joseph's faithful in it and taking care of it as a slave. After he'd been mistreated by his brothers, and he's a slave, but all of a sudden, he's like top and in charge. And then next thing we know about him, here's Potiphar's wife after him and trying to get him to be immoral and trying to lead him the wrong way. What's he do? He avoids her. First thing, he's staying away from her. He knows he needs to avoid that, and so he starts staying away. And then when he does get caught in a situation, he does the right thing. He flees. He's faithful to the Lord and gets out of there. Oh, then what happens to him next? He's in prison. He gets thrown in prison, and there he is in the prison. And what do we know next about him? Well, he's like the trustee. Why'd they make that guy the trustee? To take care of all the other guys? Well, it's because he was being faithful and doing what he should and being a good prisoner. He's just consistently being faithful. Now, there's another thing we can assume from his life, though it's not exactly spelled out, and that is he learned to forgive. If he was in there, sitting there saying, that wicked woman, I can't wait to get my hands around her neck, and that those lousy brothers of mine, boy, if I get... And he's not sitting cursing, swearing them. You know what he's doing, his trustee? He sees the other guys that he's with. He said, why are you sad today? What's bothering you? He's not sitting there angry. He's let it go. He said, obviously he's forgiven them, and he's going on saying, I'm going to live for God. This is where I'm at, and I'm going to be faithful. And he's even caring about the other guys that got thrown in and showing great faithfulness. Of course, here what happens. Oh, the one guy, he says, would you remember me when you get out and are back? But he forgets about him. 2 more years he sits there. You know what? God knew he could trust him. And in 2 years later, after the next thing we know of him, all of a sudden he gets made basically the most powerful man in the biggest country in the world. Pharaoh's still technically in charge, but he asked Joseph advice. That I'm listening to this guy. This guy is a faithful, trustworthy guy. And he puts him in charge of all his senators and all his leaders and all his big shots. He puts Joseph in charge. Why? Because he was faithful consistently, and it starts with little things. It's doing what you should, what God has given you to do. And here Joseph is consistently practicing faithfulness. With our situation with Cuba, we needed to get this guy in there to get the message to Garcia. And how are we going to get that in there? Could he hop in his motorboat and tear across over to the island? No motorboats in 1899. He got the message. He strapped it over in his heart in an oil-packed case, and then off he went. 4 days later, he lands on Cuba, and there he gets in there. And then where does he go? He heads in and starts looking and asking questions or whatever he does. 3 weeks later, he comes out on the other side, mission complete. He got it to him. He'd taken care of it. He was going to be faithful. He was trusted. The guy Rowan became a famous name. I guess it was Andrew Rowan that actually did it and got in there and did what he was supposed to, because he could be trusted to be faithful. He would be faithful in whatever it was and get through. And if a person's faithful with little jobs, God can give us bigger jobs to do as well. What responsibilities do you have from the Lord? Are they big? Are they small? Are they things that don't look big to you? Do them faithfully anywhere. Wait, is there someone you need to make some things right with, or someone you need to share the gospel with in your life? God's given us all different opportunities, different tasks, different jobs to do. We need to be faithful with them, faithful to share. Maybe it's somebody at work. Oh, you know what? If somebody is faithful at work, what does that do for their testimony? It lets you share. If a person is being unfaithful or being lazy or always complaining, what does that do for your testimony for the Lord? It messes it up. We need to be faithful in the little things and being a good example for some. Maybe you just need to be a good example to somebody. If there's something you don't know how to do, learn it. I remember a time in my life where I knew the Lord had wanted me to witness to somebody. I'd failed because I thought, I don't know how to do it. It hit me hard because the guy died before I had a chance to talk to him again, and I knew I was supposed to. What did I do? I thought, I'm going to learn how to witness. I started finding every book on soul winning or evangelism or personal sharing or testimony, and I started getting gospel tracts because I knew God wanted me to share with people, and I had dropped the ball. I didn't want to let that happen again. We need to be faithful. If you need to learn something, learn it. If you know God wants you to do something, put it together. If there's a sin you need to get out of your life or something that's tripping you up, confess it and take care of it. Say, Lord, help me to be faithful in everything. What group are you going to be in when we stand before the Lord? The 10-pound group, the 5-pound guy, the idle pound? I sure hope not. Or worse, the other. Make sure the Lord is your Savior and that you're living for Him and making your life count for eternity. Why don't we just bow our heads together and right there in your heart, if you know there's something you need to get right with the Lord, confess it and ask Him to help you to be faithful in whatever task you know He wants you to do. Lord, thank You for caring for us. Thank You for the great examples You've given us. Help us to be faithful in each thing, whether it be little or big, whether it be fun or not, or known or unknown. Help us to be faithful to You in each thing that You give us, that we can hear You say, well done. Thank You for making the way that we can be forgiven, and that when we do fail, we can come to You and find forgiveness and cleansing. Thank You for caring for us and wanting us to do the best, and even offering us Your eternal reward for simply, faithfully serving You. We thank You for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.